Well, I guess I'm one of the people that wasn't feeling so great, and I wasn't sure how it was going to go, because I'm a little bit stuffed up, and yesterday I couldn't hardly talk, so I was not sure, but it got a little bit better today. I was praying last night that God would clear my nose up a little bit so I could actually talk, so it's gotten a little bit better, but I might, if I sound a little bit nasally, that's why, so... If you could, turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Before we jump into it, let's say a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to be able to preach the message that you put on my heart. Lord, I thank you for this church. Thank you for the encouragement and support that they've been to me as I have been at school. Just the financial support, the prayer support, Lord, all that. It's meant so much. And thank you for all the just warm welcomes home, Lord, and just for the opportunity that I have to serve in this church. And pray that you would just bless this message, work in our hearts tonight, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This passage is a part of the passage that I think I preached my first sermon on, and it was right here. And it's kind of funny coming up here to preach it again, but it's a totally different message. The title of my message tonight is, Who Really Is Jesus? And this is actually my second time to preach this message. I preached it down in Georgia at the church that I'm interning at down there with a little bit different twist to it because we were coming up to Christmas, and I had really been thinking about just focusing on Jesus' life here and thinking about what that meant, thinking about what he did, what he taught us, just all that meant for him coming to earth as a man and living here as a man and looking maybe a little bit deeper into that and just taking time to meditate on that. So that was originally what I had prepared this message like, and I was going to preach on something else tonight. I kept praying about it and praying on that passage, and I felt like the Lord kept telling me to preach this message, so I twisted it around a little bit, changed it around, so it's not Christmas focused, but my focus is just, who really is Jesus? We know he's our Savior, we know he died for us, he rose again, and we know he saved us, but what about his life? What's that mean to us? What did his actions, what did his teachings, his sacrifices to come as a baby, what did all that mean to us? So how often do you ponder on that? How often do you take the time to think about who Jesus is, who he was as a man, not only as our Savior, but who he was as a man? What did he go through? What did he sacrifice to be a man, just like you and me, and live on earth? Have you ever really meditated on where he came from and what that meant for him? What did it mean for him to be born as a baby? What did it mean for him to come to leave heaven and live on this broken, hurting earth with sinful people? What did that mean for him? Have you ever just meditated on that? And how often do you stop and think about the personal meaning? Not just the meaning for all mankind, but what has his life done for you personally? What is it doing for you personally? In your life every day, how does it affect you personally? So with today being the first day of the new year, I want to focus on what the life of Jesus and his first coming means to us and how it affects our lives today. We spend most of our time talking about his death and resurrection, which is very important. But I want to think about what his life really means. And I'd like each of us to start our year thinking about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, about what that's done for us, but also what his life here as a man really means to us. So back to John chapter 1. This kind of brings me to my first point, which is before his birth. Who was Jesus before his birth? Where did he come from? What was he doing? What had he done? Where was he at? Well, he was in the beginning, verses 1 and 2. He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. What else do we see? In verse 1, he was the Word, and the Word was God. So he was in the beginning, and he was God. Go down to verse 3. What do we see? All things were made by him. He was the creator. The little baby that we just got done celebrating last week, we spent all of December getting ready for and thinking about this. That little baby was our creator, the creator of everything you see. Everything you see. He created it. And so, what does that mean? I can't even wrap my mind around that. Why the God who created us made us perfect and we sinned. We broke that relationship with him. We've used things that he's created to go against him. And yet, he wanted to come, humble himself, and be born as a little baby, just so he could live a life here and die for us, to save us. What does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does his life mean? If we go to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, you don't have to turn there, I'll just read it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Each one of these names kind of gives a little insight into Jesus' character, not only as our God and our Savior, but as a man, who he was while he lived here among sinful, broken people. And so I looked up the definition of each word to kind of give us, there's a plaque that my mom has at home. It's like this big. And it's completely full of names of Jesus that have been found in the Bible. And the font is about that big. I don't know how many names it is. I know I've counted them at one point, but I don't remember because that was when I was little. But there's so many names, and each one of them reveals a part of his character, part of who he is, and what he means to us. But this verse, I thought, just kind of gave us a little summary. We don't have time to obviously talk about every single name. And this subject is something that you could preach on for a year straight or more and still not cover what Jesus means to us. But this verse, I liked how it summed it up. So the first one, wonderful. It's from a word meaning miracle or marvelous thing. So how does that reveal part of who Jesus is? Well, Jesus was a miracle. His birth was a miracle. He was born of a virgin. That's impossible. So it's a miracle. And his life was a miracle. Because he was able to come and live perfect so he could die for us. All that is a miracle. And I'm thankful for it. The second one, counselor. It's one who gives advice or advises or resolves. We go to counselors for many different things. We have problems. We need advice. We go to a counselor. That's a good thing. Well, who's our example? Jesus Christ. He was the counselor. Jesus resolved the worst problem in the world. The worst disease that's incurable. No one has ever found a cure for it except for Jesus. The problem of sin. The problem that sends us to hell. And Jesus solved that problem. He resolved it. The third one is the mighty God. This just simply means what it says. Powerful God. Mighty. In John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him. He's God. Is there anything he can't do? No, he can do anything. And so he's the powerful God. Jesus is the God who has power over everything. Why? Because he created it all. If he created it, he's got power over it. Do you believe he created everything? In your life, when things aren't going the way you wish they would, do you believe that he has control? He created every person. Maybe there's somebody that is giving you problems that you're like, God, why is this happening? Why is this going on? All I've been trying to do is serve you and follow you. Why am I going through this right now? Why is this person hurting me? Do you not believe that God has control? God has a purpose. And God has a plan, and his plan is perfect. The fourth one is the everlasting Father. Whenever I was preparing this message, one of my classmates from school asked me, he's like, so what are you going to say about everlasting Father? Because Jesus isn't the Father. I said, well, I don't know. We'll see. But as I was thinking about it, this is just very simple, but here's what I came up with, and you could go deeper into it than this, but Jesus will provide for our needs and love us forever just like a father. I'm not a father. I don't know what it's like to have children, but I can testify from, I think, every father almost that I've talked to that they will love their kids until the end. They'll love their kids until they're dead. And I think that's just a picture of Jesus. He'll love us till the end. He'll love his children until the end. And so that's just a comforting thing. He'll provide for us. A father's natural instinct is to provide for his children. That's what Jesus wants to do for us, is provide for us. And in his life here, he provided a way for us to live. In his death, he gave us salvation, but in his life, he showed us how to live. Provided everything we need. Provided this right here. This is everything we need. The last one, the Prince of Peace. It's just like it sounds. Peace. Everyone's looking for peace. Especially with the Christmas season just passed, everyone uses the word peace, joy and peace at Christmas. Nobody knows what that means. Because Jesus is the only one that can bring true peace. He's the Prince of it. The one who has power over peace. He's the only one that can bring true peace. So each one of these names, you go back and look, you can see different parts of his character and how that sums up his life, his character, and who he is, what he was here for, what his life meant, and what it means to you. Each one of us can take those names, apply them to our lives a little differently, because we're each going through different things. We're each in different places in our life and different places in our relationship with God. So each one of those names are going to mean a little bit different to each one of us. But they're still the same to all of us in one thing, is that they're about Jesus. They show us who Jesus is. So that brings me now to my second point, his birth. If you turn to Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not, till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. That was his birth, a miraculous birth, like I said. What does his birth mean to you? Can you imagine the turmoil that it must have put Mary through and Joseph through? It didn't look right. Mary wasn't supposed to be having a baby. She wasn't married. But yet God worked in that, and it was just a miracle. So he was born of his own choice, because that was the Father's plan. In Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, we see that Jesus humbled himself and was born. Let me find it real quick. I'll read it. Philippians 2, verses 6 and 7, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. So he humbled himself for what cause? Because we deserved a Savior? No. None of us deserved a Savior. I don't care how good you think you are. None of us are good. None of us deserved the gift of Jesus coming down as a baby, humbling himself, being willing to live as a man, go through who knows what. His dad was a carpenter. They didn't have a lot of money. I mean, at least he could have been born into a rich family or something. But no, that's not what God chose. God chose for him to be born into a poor family, for him to humble himself. And then as we saw back in Matthew, he was conceived of the Holy Ghost. And because he was conceived of the Holy Ghost, he wasn't born with a sin nature like we are. He was born perfect. If he would have been born from a man, he wouldn't be our Savior. He couldn't. He couldn't pay for our sins if he was born with a sin nature himself. And so he was born of the Holy Ghost. That was a miracle. He was perfect. And because he was born as a baby, he experienced everything that any human is going to experience. He grew up around all his friends. Imagine what he felt like at times with his friends. His friends are over here. Hey, let's go. Let's go run away. Let's go steal some candy from the store. And he's like, no, guys, I don't think we should do that. You think he got laughed at? Ha, goody, goody. You're just trying to be all good and think you're better than us. You think that happened to him? I bet it did. I think if you guys did that with your friends, you think you would get laughed at? If they were trying to do something crazy and something fun, something a little bit rebellious, or, you know, do something bad, get away with it, you think you guys would get laughed at if you said, no, let's not do that? I bet you would. Because we like to be rebellious. We like to do things that aren't right. That's our nature. That's our flesh. So I bet Jesus got laughed at as a baby, as a young child. He experienced everything that we go through. He experienced all the hurt. He didn't have a perfect life. But yet he remained perfect. He was conceived of a virgin, so he was pure. Mary had never known a man, so therefore his birth was pure. And he was born to be our Savior. The angel had instructed Mary that his name should be Jesus. It means Jehovah, the Savior. It's his name. The definition of Jesus is Jehovah is salvation. Isn't that what he is? Jesus is salvation. He came to save his people from their sins. All these things, that's just a brief summary of what Jesus means. But will you stop and think about it? Jesus, the mighty Creator God, chose to come to earth, be born as a helpless baby, robe his majesty in humanity, and live a life on this earth because he loved you and wanted you to know him. I want each one of us to make an effort this year, starting today, to stop and think about that a little bit every day. Stop and think about not just what can I go out and do for him. If you're not thinking about who he is, if you're not driven by who he is, whatever you do for him is really not worth anything, because it's not done out of love. It's not done out of an overflow of worship of who Jesus is. And so it's important, it's necessary for us to take that time to stop and think about who Jesus is. So I want us to do that, starting, and right now is a great time to start it. It's the first day of the year. Make it a point, make that a resolution this year, to take time every day to stop and meditate on who Jesus is. Think about his growing up years and what it must have been like for him as a perfect boy and God at the same time, but humbling himself to learn the things that every human has to learn. Think about how hard it must have been for him to watch all of his friends do things they shouldn't do, and how he must have gotten made fun of for being a goody-goody. There are so many different things that you will begin to realize as you meditate on this that Jesus must have faced growing up that we never really think about. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Every temptation you face, every single temptation, no matter how small or how great, how hard, how easy it is to overcome, Jesus faced it. He knows what it's like. And you can take it to him. He can help you. That statement alone is impossible, almost, for me to wrap my mind around. My point is that we can go on and on forever thinking about Jesus' life and all that meant and all that means for us. But that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm just trying to get you to think about that. And the more you really stop and think about that, the more something's going to happen. The more you stop and think about that, the more you're going to be driven to worship. You're not going to be like, I want to sing his praises because I have to, or because it's the right thing to do. I want to pray to him because that's what I have to do. I want to read his word because that's what I have to do. No, when you stop and think about this, when you let that sink into your heart, who Jesus really is, it will change you. That's a promise. And it'll make you motivated that you won't be able to spend enough time singing his praises. You won't be able to spend enough time in his word. You won't be able to spend enough time praying and worshiping him and serving him, because you're so driven by what his life means to you, by who he is. So let that sink into your heart. Let that, don't just hear what I'm saying with your ears. Let it go all the way down. Let it change you. Let Jesus into your heart fully. Open up. Let him have everything. We all know very well, might I say too well, that he came and lived as a human. But let us not overlook the meaning and importance of his life. We tend to get so busy with our ministries that he's given us that we don't take enough time to talk or think about who Jesus is and what he means to us. We must not get so busy with our Savior's work that we forget our Savior. So start today. Take that time. If you haven't today, go home and take that time. Get away from everyone, everything. Turn your phone off. Get away any distractions. And take this right here and see who he is. Get on your knees. Spend some time with him. And let's determine that from every day forward, we're going to do that and let him change our lives.